Every time I go on vacation, I find myself packing an extra bag with essentials, supplies, and food. But now, that's all in the past because people can sign up for Target Circle 360, which gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go. I'm packing light now that all of my stuff will be waiting for me at my destination.
Are you planning to host this summer? Same-day delivery is a party saver. You've got people coming over. It's getting a little crowded. You're not sure there's enough burgers, chips, paper towels, etc. Don't freak out. Target Circle 360 is coming to the rescue with unlimited same-day delivery. It's the fastest way to get more Target, so sign up today.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
Was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if I needed to clap, but I did it.
I need it. Yeah. I can't perform unless there's an action or a clap or something. So I appreciate.
Turn the performer brain on.
Yeah, it's true. Otherwise, I feel like I don't know when to start. It's like, when do you start?
No, I need some sort of a loud sound or a word to direct me when to start. Well, we've started.
Hi,
Andrea.
We've started. Hello.
Hello.
I'm a little jittery today. I've had a lot of coffee.
Oh,
I started drinking coffee in the afternoon, which I never do. And now I realize why I never do it. It's because I can't fall asleep. I can't drink coffee after 2 p.m. or I am up all night. And I know you don't have that. I wish I had whatever it is you have where you don't process.
ADHD? No.
Didn't you do a test one time?
It was like the ancestry or whatever, and they do all the weird tests that I process like caffeine and stimulants quicker. But they also say it has to if you have a neurodivergent or ADHD brain that caffeine has the opposite effect on you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ooh, like I can drink a bunch of coffee and take a nap.
Wow.
It might not be a great nap. It might be a little, you know, but it does the weirdly opposite thing. Unless I drink so much coffee that then I'm jittery, and then that's usually about a pot of coffee, and then it's all bad. It's all bad.
Yeah, if I drink too much coffee, I'll get jittery, I get anxious, it's not good. But sometimes I'm like, I just want like that afternoon pick-me-up coffee.
I am an afternoon coffee girl. I love it. It's a tradition that my dad started, and now I just, you know, coffee and like a little something sweet, just a little cookie, little something in the afternoon. It's just what you got to do. It's tea time.
I want to be that person, and I can't. I can't do it.
You're gonna have to maybe do the decaf. It's not as fun though.
Try decaf. I heard that decaf still has like a tiny bit.
You can do. There's also like half calf, which is half the caffeine.
Okay, maybe I'll try that.
So it's not quite. Try some half calf in the afternoon. Half calf.
Can I just request that half calf? Like, how do I order that?
Oh, at like a Starbucks? I don't.
Yeah, if I'm going to a coffee shop,
half decaf and half regular, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if that's how they do it, but I do know there is less caffeinated coffee.
Okay, I suppose I could just drink herbal tea. That might give me the same. You know, having a hot cup. Sometimes
it's just about the beverage.
Hot beverage. Yeah.
You just like to have a little tea time.
I do. This is my tea time. I reserve my tea time for our chats.
There you go.
That's my routine. So, all right. Okay, half cap.
Let's take this caffeine and run with it. You know what I mean?
Let's go. I'm very stimulated.
This show, right. It's going to be 18 minutes long. We're covering the entire episode.
Yes.
And go. Right. People are like, are we listening to this at like two times the speed? No, it's just they had a lot of coffee that day.
Okay. Well, welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. I'm Andrea Barber.
And I'm Jody Sweeten.
And today we are discussing season 2, episode 14, titled Little Shop of Sweaters. It originally aired on February 10th, 1989, and it goes a little something like this. DJ and Stephanie become worried when they can't find enough money to replace a damaged Valentine's Day gift sweater. Meanwhile, Jesse has his first serious date with Rebecca, and Joey attends a Valentine's Day ball dressed as Popeye.
I've got thoughts on that last one, but we'll get there.
There's a lot going on in this episode. Valentine's Day is apparently a really big deal. Huge, in the Tanner house.
Right?
I had no idea. This was directed by Peter Baldwin. It was written by the Lenny Rips. I knew it. As soon as I was like, I love this episode. Of course it was written by Lenny Rips. Love that guy. And we got two guest stars. Diane Brody is back as Cheryl. And this is her last episode on Full House, unfortunately.
Was it her last episode ever? Didn't she also quit after this?
Oh, yeah.
This is her last episode of anything. Yeah.
She hasn't been seen.
She was like, if I'm going to dress up as olive oil, that's it. I'm done with this.
She's like, this isn't the gig for me. Yes. And then we have Eileen Kahn as Julie, the shop lady. And she's listed on IMDb as a writer-producer.
Okay.
Not necessarily an actor, but for Mad About You, Dream On, and KC Undercover.
Okay. So she also did this one thing and then was like, I don't want to do this, and did something, was a writer. Okay, great.
Full House is just killing acting careers
killing
left
acting
and right.
Careers left and right, yeah.
We're the lucky ones, you know? The only lucky ones.
Right.
Okay, so we open in the kitchen. Michelle and Jesse are eating at the kitchen table with matching red baseball caps on.
So cute.
With a little tuft of hair sticking out the front. I love that. That's my favorite hairstyle of John's.
Yeah.
It's just so cute. The fact that Michelle's is matching is adorable. So Michelle is eating with her hands, and Jesse tells her, now, someday, you're going to be invited to the White House to eat fruit cocktail with the president. And if you eat with your fingers, there's a good chance you're going to gross out the commander-in-chief. He tells her to eat with a spoon, and she replies, no, thank you. He insists, so she does exactly what she is told. She grabs the spoon with her left hand and eats the food with her right hand.
Problem solving.
So wait, so do you think this was Ashley?
It was Mary-Kate.
She's right. It was Mary-Kate.
I actually wrote that down.
She was holding the spoon in the left hand, because Mary-Kate's left-handed.
I don't know maybe that was why she was holding it in the left hand.
You could just tell by the face.
I could just tell by the face that it was Mary-Kate.
Okay.
And then Ashley's in the first scene.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not the teaser, but the actual first scene.
Super
cute with the little hair. And you can see, again, like, even more of them having fun and the relationships, like, you know, the giggling and just being silly. Yeah. It's very cute.
Yeah. They are so into it. It's great. So then we have the opening credits, and we are then in the kitchen where all of the girls, plus Joey, are in the kitchen making Valentines for school. The envelopes are passed to Joey, who then holds them up to Michelle, saying, tongue out. She licks the envelope to seal it. He tells Steph, hurry up. Michelle is drying out.
Get some water.
Right? Stephanie asks how she should sign her Valentine to Wendell Berman, the nose picker in class. Joey advises her to throw in a little piece of Kleenex with it.
There you go.
There's always one. There's always one nose picker.
When they're little, you know.
So Jesse glides down the stairs singing My Funny Valentine, and he excitedly wishes the girls a happy Valentine's Day. He whips out a pair of earrings and asks Joey what he thinks. Joey says they're beautiful, adding, I'll get my ears pierced tomorrow. Jesse responds, they aren't for you, huh?
I feel like he's doing that bit more and more.
That bit has caught on.
Yeah.
Every time he does it, I love it. So this is Jesse and Becky's first Valentine's Day together, and he's planning a dream night for her.
Ooh.
He shows the girls the earrings, and Steph and DJ simultaneously, ooh. And Steph asks, Uncle Jesse, are you in love? Jesse has a hard time finding words to form a coherent sentence, and DJ stops him. He's babbling. It's love. Danny walks into the kitchen bearing gifts and enthusiastically wishes the girls a happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day is apparently a huge deal in the Tanner house.
I mean, right?
I do little things for the kids and stuff too, but this is, I mean, we've got big plans.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, for three single people and three kids, everybody in this house has a lot of plans for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I started to feel like a cheapo because I'm like, I never gave my kids we would make Valentine's for the class, and then they would get a little something for them.
But oh, my yeah, mom see, I didn't even so do that. Was, yeah,
I'm like, Christmas was just 6 weeks ago. We don't need more gifts in the house. Easter's coming up. We don't need more candy on Valentine's Day. You get enough of that.
That's true.
But not in the Tanner house. Tanner house, it's gifts, Tanner house, it's parties, it's celebrations.
$80 sweaters. Sapphire earrings, it's Popeye. Yeah. It's a lot. It is a lot.
There's a lot happening on Valentine's Day. So DJ is immediately grateful when she sees the Fashion Central shopping bag, thinking that her dad got her a royal blue sweater. But Danny tells her, well, I don't know anything about a royal blue sweater. He asks the guys if they know anything about a royal blue sweater, and they play into this oblivious act. DJ knows they do because she's been hinting about it since the day after Christmas. She begs to open presents, and Michelle and Steph join in, each hugging one of the guys as they beg, pretty please. Jesse groans.
Blitty please.
Blitty please. Blitty please. Danny dishes out all the gifts, and the girls run to the kitchen table to sit down. Steph opens her gift first, and it's a gold heart.
Aw.
Jesse tells her it's a locket and opens it to reveal pictures inside. Steph is confused, asking, who are these people? Joey tells her,
your real parents.
They're Bill and... No.
These people you never met, but here is your real family.
Yeah. Here's your real family. That's a whole other show.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So Joey says, this is Bill and Mary, the people who come with every new picture frame and wallet.
Ah, yes.
Those people, yes.
Those ones.
DJ gets everyone ready to watch her open her present. She begins to thank everyone before she finishes opening. Oh, thank you for my royal blue socks. She's disappointed, but Danny interrupts. Won't those royal blue socks go fabulous with your new royal blue sweater? DJ screams and she gives the boys hugs while thanking them. Michelle picks the bow off of her gift and chimes in, thank you, Daddy. Danny laughs and helps her continue to unwrap her gift. Stephanie tries on DJ's sweater and notes, ooh, this would make a great dress if I put a belt on it.
Ooh, look at Steph turning things into fashion. Yeah.
Yeah. But DJ is furious. She says, I'm going to belt you, you little nerd bomber. She tells Steph to take off the sweater and complains that she's stretching it out.
Such a sibling moment.
Oh, this is classic sibling moment.
I feel like my kids would have tackled each other before one of them even got the sweater on. You know?
Yeah, that was true. Stephanie's like, well, you don't have to yell at me. I've got ears. And DJ fires back, but you've got nothing between them, you little chicken wing. Boy, lots of insults flying back
right?
and forth. Steph snaps back even harder. Oh, yeah? Well, if I'm a chicken wing, then you're a double-decker lamoid chicken sandwich.
Ooh.
Boom.
Boom.
Whoa.
And not the even like insult. The good... hot chicken sandwich, just no. like a lame-oid chicken.
Lame-oid.
Yeah, yeah, like a sad gas sad station chicken sandwich. Yeah, that's just, you're not sure if it's fried or just chewy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the day-old rotisserie chicken that's been sitting under the heater at the grocery store for too long.
Yeah, that's it.
So Danny forces the girls to stop fighting and then forces them to say something nice about each other. DJ smirks. Okay, Stephanie, you have a wonderful big sister. Steph responds, and DJ, you have an even more wonderful little sister. But DJ's quick and replies, yes, I do. Her name is Michelle. Steph gives a huh before strutting out of the room.
Quite dramatic.
I'm surprised there was no how rude. I feel like this deserved a how rude.
I was very surprised that there was no how rude.
This moment deserved it. Yeah.
It really did.
Missed opportunity.
But the huffing was also... quite dramatic for Steph.
It was very, yeah, that was quite an exit.
It was, you know what it was? It was giving Miss Piggy vibes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when she, yeah, it was, yeah, that was what it felt like.
Definitely a huffy.
Yes.
So DJ asks Danny if she can wear her new sweater to school. He says yes, but warns her to take good care of it. DJ nods and runs away excitedly. Michelle shouts, "Help!" from the table. She's having trouble unwrapping her gift. The boys walk over and Joey jokes, "Well, let's help her open it before she outgrows it." They open it to reveal a little sweatshirt with hearts all over it. Michelle says, "Thank you," and walks away with the box. Jesse points out that next year, they should just get the kid a box.
So true.
So true to life.
A box, yep, they can fit in, like the big giant ones? Forget it. They're like, this is it.
That is the ultimate gift. Yep.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So next, we are in Steph and DJ's room. Steph is seated at her little table with Mr. Bear, reviewing her Valentines from school. She has Valentines from three different Jasons.
Oh, very popular name.
Oh, yeah. Like in my day, it was Jennifer. Like Jennifer was the name.
Right.
Five Jennifers in my class.
Yeah. Yeah. DJ was almost supposed to be Jennifer. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was supposed to be a Jennifer. Jennifer Crawford.
Yeah. Jennifer, Jason, J names all over the place.
So Stephanie gets to Wendell Berman's Valentine, and she can't help but look disgusted as she holds it up.
Definitely boogers
on
it.
Yeah. You got to disinfect your hands after that. DJ runs into the room looking very distressed. Steph asks what's wrong, and DJ says, "Don't ask." Steph tells her, "Well, it's too late. I already asked." Steph realizes that DJ isn't wearing her new sweater. DJ unzips her backpack and pulls out the remnants of the royal blue sweater. Ooh. It's tattered, torn, and split into three separate pieces. DJ says she took off the sweater while she was playing soccer so it wouldn't get all sweaty. The next thing she knows, the gardener runs over it with his lawnmower.
So isn't the gardener at fault here? Isn't that the gardener's problem?
Well, he probably didn't see it. What more? Why is the gardener gardening during school hours? Isn't that normally an after school thing?
I remember that though. They'd be out doing the field, and it was like, look, we got to run this stupid gigantic ride-on lawnmower across the whole field. You know what I mean? So at some point, the kids were out there and was like, don't go on that half of the field because the lawnmower's over there. So I'm assuming that they were just on the side. I don't know.
They had to get their work done. Yeah. Right? I don't blame the gardener. Also, he's probably an underpaid employee and he just wants to mow his grass. You know, he doesn't care about belongings. You know, it's at your own risk. You leave your shirt out.
Right. You stuff your thing on the ground. That's it. It gets run over.
It's a natural consequence, DJ. Sorry. Right? But it is.
I feel like I'm wondering how the lawnmower fared in this, though. You know, I feel like it would.
It probably broke the lawnmower.
Feels like an expensive fix. Way more expensive than the $80 sweater.
For sure, yeah. So Steph knows that Danny is going to freak out, but DJ tells her, not if my plan works. And just like that, Kimmy Gibbler runs in and announces, have no fear, Kimmy Gibbler is here. Again, with the wig hair, that's not a wig.
It was...
My hair gets worse every episode.
You know
what I'm going
to... You know what, though? You know whose hair it reminds me of?
Whose?
When Tate was born, he had... an incredible mop of hair.
He did.
And I feel
now
I was always like, where did that hair? Now I know.
He gets it from
thick,
my side.
Kind of
for
reddish
sure.
hair. Like you yeah, had
that sticks
just,
up.
That sticks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tate was born with a full head of hair, spiky hair with highlights.
He looked like he was wearing a wig, like a little tiny miniature infant wig. It was
he
amazing.
He looked like Ryan Seacrest with the little blonde
streaks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think
that's
it's
where
just,
I get it.
That's what it is. That sort of wig hair runs in your family.
That's not a flex. That is terrible.
You've got wig hair runs look in my family. Look at my spaghetti strings. You know what I mean? You should be glad. You enjoy your wig hair.
I'll enjoy my wig
hair. Enjoy it. Someday you're going to be very grateful for it.
Well, someday I hope we get a hairstylist on this show, whether it's Frankie or whoever was doing our hair. And I'm like, I want answers about Kimmy Gibbler's hair, please.
It was the 80s. That's your answer.
Yeah, there you go. True. So Steph leans into DJ and whispers, if she's part of your plan, you need a new plan. But DJ's plan is to go to the store and buy a new sweater. Kimmy hands her all the money she has, $11.80. DJ thanks her, saying she is the best friend in the whole world. Kimmy sighs, okay, here's the other $5. DJ tells them, I have $27 in my I gotta get a car the day I turn 16 fund. And Stephanie wants to help too. She tells DJ she can have all the money in her piggy bank. But she forces the girls to turn around and close their eyes so they don't see the location of her secret hiding place. DJ knows the secret hiding place is Steph's toy chest. But Steph says that's her old hiding place. She needs to retrieve the piggy bank from her new hiding place. After they reluctantly close their eyes, Steph runs over to the toy chest, grabs her piggy bank, acting like she got it from her nightstand.
The little drawer slam and everything. It was great.
You did well. And you were raising your eyebrows at the end of that scene. That's your go-to move.
Yeah.
So the next scene, we are in Fashion Central.
Yes, we are.
Why does this look like the same set as the Stacey Q?
Because it absolutely is. What do you mean? Why does it look like that? Because it is.
It's pink. It's purple. It's the 80s colors.
It's 80s, right? The turquoise and the hot pink. And it literally is the same.
It's probably the same set.
It's the same exact set as the Stacey Q one. They were like, I don't know, just repaint it and throw some sweaters in there.
I love it. Full House was budget conscious and, resourceful.
Yeah, for sure.
So DJ, Kimmy, and Steph arrive at Fashion Central along with Joey, who was their ride. DJ says they'll be done in about 10 minutes. Joey says he's going to the one-hour photo store so he can watch people's vacations go by.
That, I was like, that's right. One-hour photos.
You had to get your film developed.
You would get your film developed. And horror of horrors, your photos would come through the thing. Remember at some places you'd be in the mall and you would see, that's why I said, you're going to go watch people's vacations go by. You would see other people's photos.
Oh yeah, there was no privacy whatsoever. It was just a free for all.
And some teenage kid is just going through your photos.
Yes. That would not happen today.
you'd post it on Instagram and have 7,000 people looking at your photos, right? What I wouldn't give for a 1 hour photo. Yeah.
It's a different type of voyeurism now.
Yeah, exactly.
So DJ spots the royal blue sweater and she's shocked to see that it's $80.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
In 1989?
That's a lot of money. That's easily, what, over $100, $120? Oh, yeah.
It's like $140, $150 sweater.
That's an expensive sweater for a 12-year-old. That's I wouldn't spend that money on my 12-year-old, that's right? For sure. So DJ asks the nearest store clerk if the sweater might be going on sale soon, like in the next 10 minutes. The store clerk says no. But DJ tells the woman they only have $43.80. And Steph adds, plus 322 pennies in cash. Such a saleswoman.
As if pennies aren't cash.
Right.
I mean, they're not really. If you think about it, like pennies are just, they're just that annoying. 322 pennies, just what everyone wants.
It's just heavy. That's all it is. Right. Heavy. The woman tells Steph she's a little short, and Steph responds, well, I can't help it. I'm only six.
Such an insult, comeback. Lady. I'm just trying to buy a sweater.
DJ's bummed. She's going to have to tell the guys that she turned their beautiful Valentine's Day present into $80 worth of royal blue dish rags. Kimmy sighs. Oh, that's too bad. But as long as we're here, let's try stuff on.
I mean, I don't see how you can beat that amazing leopard outfit that you're wearing, though. With the skirt and the jacket. You're not going to find anything better than that in Fashion
Central. That was kind of a cute outfit.
It was a very cute outfit. No, it was cute. And you're not going to find anything better than that at that sweater store.
It's cute. It's just my chicken legs. Like, I couldn't be more pale. The legs could not be more stick-like. It's
well, I mean, it's so, you know, gangly. Well, look.
None of us look our best at age 11 or 12, you know, like we're just entering the awkward phase.
Yeah, it's all of the most awkward times of your life. And then they're like, here, let's throw you in some clothes that you don't like and put you on TV, you know, and you're like, all right, well, sure. And then you look back 30 years later and you go, what was I wearing?
Yeah. But I did like the leopard.
The leopard was great. It's making a comeback.
Kimmy liked to wear leopard. Yeah. So Steph notices a sign that says, buy now, pay later. She asks the store clerk if the sign is true. And the woman nods, telling her it's called credit. Steph runs over to tell Mr. Bear the great news. She can buy DJ's sweater now and pay for it later. Stephanie stuffs the sweater into her bag as the audience oohs. Kimmy and DJ walk up to her unaware of what she's done, and then they walk out of the store at the same time as another shopper. The buzzer goes off, but only the other shopper gets stopped to get her bag searched. Kimmy judges her out loud. I hate shoplifters. They drive up the prices for everyone.
Yeah.
Did you ever shoplift as a kid?
No, that was the one thing I didn't do. But middle school, I feel like girls are always like, I stole a lipstick. I stole a nail polish. Yeah. My friends would do stupid stuff like that. But I was always like, it wasn't exciting to me. It wasn't the thing that I was like, ooh, yeah, I want to get it. I was like, nah, it's all right.
So, I only did once, and it wasn't because I wanted to steal. It was a candy bar from Trader Joe's, and I'm like, well, I just want chocolate. Like, I don't really. And I knew my mom wasn't going to let me have it.
Right.
So I just put it in my pocket and walked out. But by the time we got to the car in the parking lot, I came clean. I was like, Mom, I took this candy bar.
Right. She made me. You were eating the chocolate, right, and she was like, where did you get that? Yes. My pocket. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the only time I've ever shoplifted. And I was young. I was probably like 9 years old.
Still
so.
Not allowed in Trader Joe's, though. That's a shame.
I'm still banned.
Right, still banned from Trader Joe's. But
so, back in DJ and Steph's room, the three girls walk in and Joey follows them. DJ thanks him for driving and he admits he's amazed that the three of them went into a mall for 20 minutes and nobody bought a thing. Kimmy shrugs. We were practicing our browsing. Joey responds, you know, Kimmy, one day you're going to make some lucky young man very confused. And Kimmy happily grins back at him. She's flattered by this comment.
Yeah. I think that's a superpower. make some young man very confused. Just he doesn't know what's coming.
Yeah, that's leopards, on brand for Kimmy.
He's hair. He's like, what's happening? Yeah.
So once Joey's gone, DJ revisits the reality of her torn up sweater and starts to worry. Steph reaches into her bag and pulls out the royal blue sweater. Ta-da! But DJ's even more concerned, asking Stephanie how she paid for that sweater. Steph tells her she didn't have to because the lady said she could buy now and pay later.
Yeah.
DJ and Kimmy both look at her in shock. Stephanie doesn't understand what's wrong, so Kimmy explains, "You ripped it off." Steph assures her that she didn't because it's wrong to steal. She reminds the girls that what she did is called credit.
Yeah.
But DJ emphasizes, if you don't have a credit card, it's called shoplifting. Oh, Steph is starting to understand her mistake. Kimmy announces she's got to get out of there. If the police connect her with this crime, she could be banned from the mall forever. And Steph is scared. She doesn't want to go to jail. And then there's a tense commercial break.
Very tense.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We come back from the tense commercial break. We're still in the girls' room. We're still tense. DJ tells Stephanie not to panic. All they have to do is return the sweater tomorrow and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Just then, Danny knocks on the door telling the girls to get ready for their Valentine's Day dinner. He tells DJ to wear her new sweater. He can't wait to see how it looks on her. DJ wonders if she should wear the stolen sweater to dinner and wait until tomorrow to tell them that it's been destroyed, just so that she doesn't ruin Valentine's Day. Steph nods. You have such a good heart.
It's true. She's really thinking of others.
But they can't get the alarm tag off of the sweater. Steph says, that's all right. I think it looks nice. But DJ shakes her head. There has to be some way to hide it. Next scene, we're in the living room, which is very sparsely decorated for Valentine's Day. It's kind of pitiful for the Tanners. You know, they go all out.
I mean, they're buying gifts and all kinds of other things, but they're like, we didn't really decorate.
They just threw some flowers. Gifts. Yeah, they were too busy. it's something. So Danny's waiting for the girls, and Joey enters the room dressed as Popeye.
Because why not?
What says Valentine's Day like a big Popeye costume?
You know, I'm sure that there are some people out there that would say it says a lot for them on Valentine's Day. And maybe that's what Joey and Cheryl were into. I don't know. You know, maybe that's, I don't know. I don't know.
It's so out of left field. This must have been a Dave thing. He must have pitched, hey, you know, I can do Popeye voices. Let's put me in a costume and make a bit out of it.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. Maybe he just had it lying around. He was like, look, I need to make use of this Popeye costume.
I got to get my money's worth. Can we put it in the show?
I got to get my money's worth for these forearms.
Those forearms were amazing. So Joey greets Danny in his Popeye voice. Ahoy, landlubber. I'm setting sail for me Valentine costume party. Danny's confused.
As we all are.
We all are confused. Like, confused costume too. Party for Valentine's Day? Like, none of this makes sense. So Danny says, I thought that you were supposed to dress up as a famous romantic couple. Joey turns towards the kitchen door and shouts, oh, olive oil, it's your Romeo. Cheryl comes out dressed in her olive oil costume. She gives her best impression of the character, but it doesn't work too well.
No Shelley Duvall, I've got to say that.
No. Like, this is just so extra. Like, they went all out.
Now you see why she was like, I quit this business. I'm never doing another show again. I'm never coming back to this business. This is ridiculous.
Well, we didn't even do a Halloween episode. We had a Halloween teaser, but not a full episode. And now suddenly it's a whole Valentine's Day episode and they're dressed in full costume. Like, man, were they hurting for storylines? Like, I don't know. I don't understand any of this.
We see why they broke up, though.
Totally.
We see why we never see her
justified
again. She got home and was like, I am never dressing up like this for Valentine's Day again. And left right there.
She's like, this guy is kinky. I'm not. Yeah, right. Not
she's
into
like,
this.
What are you? No, I'm not. No, this is, what am I, a furry? Yeah, no.
So Joey continues to impersonate Popeye and asks where his little sweet pea is. Out walks Michelle with her nightgown and a bald cap on.
I don't think, here's the best part is that now, anyone watching this show who's not our age, even people our age, would be like, what? Who's that? What's wrong with that baby's head? Popeye does not have the same cultural significance that it once did.
No, it doesn't. And I'm just impressed they got the bald cap on the baby. Like, those aren't comfortable. I mean, it wasn't super tight on her head. You could see there were, you know, it was a little bit slack, but
yeah.
It was still impressive to get a baby to sit still long enough to put a bald cap on.
Yeah, just right. Saying. And not pull it off.
Yeah. So Danny picks her up and admires, that's how you looked the day you were born. Michelle gives Joey a wave. Hi, Popeye. Joey, while still impersonating Popeye, tells Danny he wishes he was coming. Now that I takes a good looks at you, you're built more like olive oil than Cheryl is. They all give a big laugh and head out to their party with Michelle in tow.
I was going to say, so they're taking Michelle to this Valentine's Day costume party for couples? What is...
And it's not even their baby. Like, there's right? So hey, much wrong
with dress this baby up and I'm taking it with me for the costume party.
What party? What kind of party is this?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't...
None of it makes sense. I need to call up Lenny Rips and be like, what were you thinking? What kind of Valentine's?
It was either this or they were dressing up as something from Star Wars, and we know how that went. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So Steph and DJ finally skip down the stairs, ready for their date. Danny notices that their sweaters are both tied up on the side.
Yeah, very fashionable.
I'm like, that wasn't. I think that was in fashion in the 80s to have that little side.
Yeah,
that little side thing. And DJ tells him, it's the latest style. Steph insists that Danny tries it too, and he responds, well, if anyone's ready to take a fashion risk, it's your rad dad. Jesse and Becky roll in through the front door after their date. Becky describes their hayride date and admires how romantic it was.
A hayride through the streets of San Francisco? What?
Like, yeah, it's not like a carriage ride with a horse. Like, why a hayride? It's not fall. Right. There's no pumpkins. Like, what?
Who's doing hay in February and Valentine's Day? What is that? Who's riding a hayride? And where is this hay in the middle through the streets of San Francisco?
Yeah, there's no mention of a horse or
to get a hayride. To pull a hayride up those hills? Feels problematic to me.
I wonder if this is because Becky's from Nebraska and she keeps missing home. So Jesse's like, let me take you on a hayride.
So Jesse's like, let me find you a hayride?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a stretch. It's a stretch.
They would have been better off going to the costume party, you know?
Yeah. This episode is like the kitchen sink of all episodes. They just threw everything in there and they're like, let's hope it sticks.
I don't know, whatever. Valentine's Day, shoplifting, Popeye, hayride. Do whatever.
Just throw everything in there. Let's see what sticks. Ugh. So Danny tells them he and the girls are off to see Roger Rabbit for the fifth time.
Great movie.
Becky and Jesse see them off. But before Danny leaves, Jesse notices the sweater. Danny coolly tells him, hey, it's the latest style, dude. And Danny and the girls walk out, leaving Jesse and Becky alone. Becky notices the setup in the living room that Jesse prepared for the two of them.
The sad decorations?
That makes sense. It's sad decorations because Jesse was in charge of them.
Oh, so yeah.
He's like, just throw some flowers right. onto the table and that'll do it.
That is something. A little something. Yeah.
Well, and he had champagne. You know, he went to effort. He went to effort. I give him credit.
Champagne
for that.
And a hayride? Please.
What more do you need?
What else
says romance?
Yeah.
So Jesse turns on some music and lights the fire to heat up the evening a little bit, as if they needed it. He pops a bottle of champagne and toasts to finding each other. He tells Becky he has a little something for her. He pulls out a box, and she pulls out a box for him too, and they open their gifts. Sapphire earrings for Becky. And a genuine Elvis spoon for Jesse.
What do you think makes it genuine? Did Elvis eat off of it? Is there a little lock of his hair in it?
That's a good question. Yeah. Was there a certificate that came with it? Like it's genuine in what way?
Properly licensed.
It's licensed. Yeah. Okay. It's
properly licensed Elvis spoon.
Elvis himself gave permission for this spoon to be made and to be given to Jesse Katsopoulos. So Becky runs over to the mirror to try on her earrings. Jesse thanks Becky for making him wait 4 months to go out with her. He admits, it gave us a chance to know each other without all the pressures of dating. He rambles on about how she's honest, interesting, open. What he's really trying to say is that he normally has a hard time committing to someone.
No.
Really? He pulls out his little black book, which is actually yellow, because they were out of black the day he got it. And he says, the point is, I'm not going to need these phone numbers anymore because I want to be with you every weekend. And he tosses the book into the fire.
It's like when somebody deletes their apps for you. Aww. Like, I don't need these apps anymore.
Yeah. It's a sign of commitment.
Yeah.
But Becky slowly starts to break it to him. Well, actually, not every weekend. I have a date this Saturday.
Becky!
Go Becky! Yes!
I was like, oh,
I was shocked.
I didn't remember this.
I didn't remember this either.
One more
I was shocked.
I love Becky. She's like, nope, I got options.
She's not putting all her eggs in one basket.
Nope.
I love it. And Jesse is understandably shocked. You have a date? She defends herself. They never talked about being exclusive. Jesse rushes towards the fire to fish out his book. It's caught on fire, so he dunks it in the ice bucket. This is a major fire stunt for a multicam set.
And an actor? I was like, again, probably falls under the heading of like things they won't let you do anymore, like fly children around the room as astronauts and light things on fire.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, I know today you have to have fire permits and the fire department.
Department was there and the thing, the little, you know.
I would hope so.
Fire extinguisher was right off. Yeah, I'm sure it was right off camera.
It was quite the flame, too. Yeah. That, like, John was handling, like, a massive flame. Yeah. So Jesse tells her, fine, I can get a date for Saturday night, too. And after making a big scene, he takes it back. He doesn't want to play games with her. He just wants to be with her. Becky feels like things are moving too fast for her. She asks him for a little bit more time.
He does move a little quick. He moves a little.
He does.
A little quick.
Yeah, he does.
He might want to look fast. Yeah.
Jesse backs up to sit on the couch and tells her he'll wait for her. He refuses to blow this. She walks over to him. Well, you don't have to wait alone, and begins to kiss him. He stops her, thinking she wanted to take things slow. She slowly makes out with him, and he says his infamous have mercy before throwing his little black book into the fire.
Go, Becky.
So, back at Fashion Central, DJ and Steph walk in, and DJ instructs her to act casual when she goes to place the sweater back. Steph begins to sing casually as she strolls back into the store.
They probably wanted me to whistle, but I can't whistle, so they always like, do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do. As she walks in, the buzzer goes off. The store clerk rushes over and checks Stephanie's bag, revealing the stolen sweater. When she asks for a receipt for this item, Steph admits she doesn't have one. She admits, "I'm a shoplifter."
The horror.
DJ tries to make a joke out of Steph's shoplifting incident and tells the clerk exactly what Stephanie thought "buy now, pay later" meant. But the store clerk is not amused. She tells the girls that shoplifting is a serious crime, and because of this, she's going to have to call their parents. Steph chimes in, "Could you ask to speak to Joey?" She has the girls wait by the register for their parents. The screen fades to show that time has passed, and then Joey, Danny, and Jesse rush in to find the girls. The store clerk approaches them, and Danny immediately scolds the woman for accusing his girls of shoplifting. DJ attempts to speak but can't get a word in over the boys. Steph finally pipes up, "Uncle Jesse, I stole the sweater." Jesse laughs and goes back on his word. Well, not everybody's perfect. DJ defends Stephanie and admits to Danny that she ruined the one he originally gave her. DJ tells her dad she's sorry, and Steph says she's sorrier. Danny tries to tell the store clerk he's in shock because he raised his daughters to know the difference between right and wrong. Right on cue, Michelle tries on a hat and says, "My hat. Home, Joey." It runs in the family.
Yes.
I feel like the store clerk was a little harsh.
Yeah, she needed to settle a little bit. Like, come on.
The girls admitted it.
Yeah, they admitted it. They were bringing it back.
Yeah. It's understandable that a six-year-old wouldn't understand what buy now, pay later means. You know, it's...
Very true.
This is an innocent mistake. The store clerk just needed to take a chill pill.
Yeah. Well, her manager is just looking to fire people. So she's, she's a little nervous about her job.
Understandable. Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. And it's been a rampant, just kids shoplifting weeks over and over and over. So she's had enough.
She's had it. She's making an example out of Stephanie Tanner.
Yeah, exactly.
So back in DJ and Steph's room, Danny is lecturing the girls on how lucky they are that nobody is pressing charges. Steph agrees, "You're not kidding. They almost sent me up the stream." The DJ corrects her, "That's up the river." Steph shrugs, "Well, I'm new at this." Danny asks the girls why they didn't come to him, and DJ confesses she thought she could handle things on her own. Danny commends, "Well, you're much better at getting into trouble than you are at getting out of it." DJ asks if there's any way she could practice getting out without getting in.
Not really.
And no, it doesn't work that way. But Danny assures her that he will always be on her side to help. DJ and Stephanie thank him, and Steph asks if he could help fix DJ's sweater. Steph pulls out the three-piece shredded sweater, and Danny's shocked. This is an $80 sweater. But he pulls himself together, saying he's grateful that everyone learned a lesson.
Including the gardener, who needs to be more careful when running over things while he's performing his obviously very hard duties. Thank you very much.
DJ puts her arm around Steph. "Well, you little chicken wing. Thanks for trying to help me." Steph tells her that she had to do something. "Sisters forever?" Steph asks. DJ smiles and nods, giving her a big hug. Steph attempts to extend the ask, wondering if she can borrow DJ's toys, CDs, and clothes anytime she wants. DJ doesn't hesitate. Not a chance. But she gives in, telling Steph she can borrow one thing. Steph walks over to browse DJ's closet. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
that was a sweet moment.
Yeah, this was a fun episode. I do remember, I remember doing this episode. I remember my little do-do-do moment. I don't know why that sticks out in my head.
Classic.
I vividly remember that. The stolen sweater, the whole thing, it was.
Yeah. That was a great sweater. I remember loving that sweater too.
It was beautiful color. The royal blue. I can see why DJ really wanted it. Yeah. And she's got matching socks. I mean,
that was a hot outfit back in 1989.
Yeah, I'd wear that sweater today.
Yeah, it's fashionable.
Quite fashionable from Fashion Central, also known as the record store.
Also known as the Stacey Q autograph.
Stacey Q autograph record store. Right.
I can't wait to see what they use it for next.
It's under new ownership. They closed that down and then reopened this place in the same space just recently. So.
Just stay tuned, folks. You'll see it again.
Yeah, I'm sure. Some other format. This time it'll be a bookstore or a diner
Yep.
Well, no, this was a really fun episode, though. It was a very cute sister moment, too. Yeah. I like that it ended And I liked that the whole storyline was really, Steph was trying to help, you know, like it was, I liked how they framed sort of the little shoplifting thing, that it was, you know, Steph was like, buy now, pay later. I'm in.
Yeah, she just wanted DJ to be okay. Like, it's very, her intentions were very sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Steph had really good intentions, but you know what they say about the road to hell? It's paved with them. Steph almost went up the stream.
Like, or up the river.
Well, she's small, so it starts out as a stream. You go up the stream, and then you keep going.
Turns with into your, a river.
And it turns into a river, and then, and then you're just stuck in it.
Did you have any everywhere you looks?
I didn't have any everywhere you look moments in this. Did you?
I have a couple. I have a couple.
I don't know why I didn't. I was looking for stuff, and
I didn't. It's hard. Yeah.
I didn't have anything that I hadn't like noticed necessarily before.
Well, one is you're missing a tooth on the bottom. On the bottom. And I'm like, where's the flipper? Like, you didn't have a flipper this episode for the fake tooth. So yeah, you have a missing tooth on the bottom. And then in the first scene, you're wearing this cute little plaid, like this comfortable little jumper outfit with a Scotty dog on it, of course.
Of course.
We have a picture of this on our Instagram, the How Rude Instagram. It was your birthday. And you're blowing out candles on a cake at the kitchen set, at the kitchen table. If you go back to last summer, we posted it last summer. And so I'm like, that makes sense. If this was released in mid-February.
It would have been mid-January, 3 weeks before my birthday. Yeah.
So I was like, this was right around your birthday that you taped this episode.
Right. I taped this episode, blew out candles on a cake, and lost a tooth.
That was a banner week for you.
Six-year. That's a typical six-year-old birthday, I feel like. Just teeth falling out, like, just everywhere.
Very cute. Very cute. Yeah. So those are my only everywhere you look.
I'm surprised I didn't notice my own tooth missing. I mean, I would but not watching the show, I guess.
Well, when you lose them all the time, you know, that's true. Not as big of a deal.
Like car keys, just all the time. They're going everywhere. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another really fun episode of How Rude Tanneritos. We love doing this show, and we love that you guys listen to it. So if you want to find us on Instagram, you can follow us at How Rude Podcast. You can also email us at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys. And we love questions, comments, you know, mild concerns, all of that kind of fun stuff. what else? Make sure that you're liking and subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening to it so that you can make sure and get all the newest episodes right when they come out. And our next episode is going to be season 2, episode 15, Pal Joey, which aired February 17th, 1989. That's next up on our recap watch. So please join us next time for another episode of How Rude Tanneritos. And remember, everybody, the world is small, but the house is full.
Boom. Boom.
Yes.
You did it.
Did it.
I'm proud of you.
I did it. My streak is...
The streak continues.
Two in a row. All right. The streak continues for... today.
Two in a row. right. But just wait till next week.
But I'll have you know, the bracelet was sitting right over there. It was just, I was looking at it right out of the corner of my eye.
You're not quite off bracelet.
Not off bracelet. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A.,
and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.